an insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Hall of Fame game tonight. National Football League on NBC. Chargers and the Lions, two teams with high hopes in the 2025 season. Both playoff teams last year, both disappointing endings to their respective postseasons. But tonight at 8 o'clock, it's kickoff, Canton, Ohio. So starting tonight, then you got next week. Ravens play a week from tonight against the Colts, preseason opener. Then another preseason. Then another preseason. Maryland. The Terrapins, less than a month away from starting their college football season. So you want football? We're shoving it down your throat for the next 9 months because it starts tonight, and it's going to be on every week. And then once we get into college football, you get the Tuesday night MAC games, and it's almost going to be like literally every day of the week. So it's all about the football, all about the pigskin, because it's all about the money. We got you covered here. But tonight, football there, Chargers, Lions, going in this weekend to Canton, Ohio, all deservedly so. Antonio Gates, Chargers stud. Eric Allen, Eagles outstanding cornerback. Jared Allen, Vikings and Chiefs, pass rush specialist. And you have Sterling Sharp, Green Bay, whose career ended earlier because of a neck injury. And as we talked about earlier in the program, his brother Shannon's in. And the news for other reasons, unfortunately. But Sterling Sharp would have been in years ago if he would have had a straight 10 to 12 year career, not interrupted. Big playmaker, one of the top three receivers in the league during his time. He and Brett Favre made beautiful music together. He could get down the field. He was big. He was strong. His hands were reliable. So a Sterling Sharp getting in to Canton, Ohio, and rightfully so. Now, Cincinnati Bengals made a move today. They signed Noah Fant. Tight end, formerly of the Seahawks, one-year contract. So he lands on his feet, lands in Cincinnati. Speaking of the Bengals, Trey Hendrickson. He's got some issues with his contract. Cincinnati Ball Club. They finally signed Shamar Stewart late last week, their first-round draft pick. I guess that language they tried to put in, they got it all settled. But Trey Hendrickson's back and explains why.
Prior to leaving to Florida, I was here 30 days in Cincinnati. So the goal was always to be in Cincinnati. Some things transpired. It became public that I left to go to Florida. But it was never something that I wasn't going to be here to help the 2025 Bengals.
This guy's got 34 sacks the last 2 years. They've got an offense that rivals any in the National Football League, as we saw last season. Chase Brown stepped in nicely, thank you very much, to replace Joe Mixon as their running back. But their defense leaves a lot to be desired. And you can even look at them on paper, Nolan, and say they're the worst defense in the AFC North. Cleveland's got studs. I mean, Myles Garrett, they can get to you. Ravens, we know they're strong. Pittsburgh, historically good defensively. I don't know if the Ramsey trade will pan out the way they wanted it to, but Bengals have a horrible defense. That kept them out of the postseason last year. So getting this guy in camp obviously is a boon for them, but if he's disgruntled, I'm guessing he's not going to half-ass it given the uncertainty of his long-term future there, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the funniest and really the most appropriate take on this, actually reading what Mike Florio had to say about it when Hendrickson decided to come back to camp, and he said, you know, holdouts in the NFL are commonplace now as players seek new deals. And usually they're almost universally successful, the 100% success rate. He said, but most teams are not the Bengals.
Right.
And he said that there was actually a pretty good chance that this holdout would have went way into the regular season with how stubborn and just that stubborn the Bengals are. So he said the best thing for Hendrickson to do, even though it's not really conventional with what other players do, is in fact a report. He said, if you want your contract, he said, this might be the best way to get it.
So a good faith gesture on his part. Will that be reciprocated? And Trey Hendrickson was asked, well, that being said, the contract talk's going along right now.
You know, things are exactly the same. Ooh. What I'm not going to do is, as best as I can, like, avoid being a distraction. You know, I want to help the guys. You know, the guys that have helped me along the way, Demario Davis, Cam Jordan, even Sam Hubbard helped me a lot when I was here. So to be that right now, I think that's what's most important. And this narrative will kind of iron itself out as we continue to progress towards the season.
Well, he just said, I don't want to be a distraction, but the contract, at least as he sees it benefiting him, does not appear to be gaining momentum in a positive way. I don't know. Mike Brown, notoriously cheap. Look, and Mike Brown's ancient. I mean, I'm not no spring chicken myself, but let's put it in perspective. For those who even know who Paul Brown is, he's Paul Brown's son. Paul Brown has left this football world long ago. Paul Brown was the founder of the Cleveland Browns. That's why they're called the Browns, because of him. He was the founder of the Cincinnati Bengals. He's old. Is it time for fresh blood? Because it certainly looks like it's the same old mentality. A lot of frugality there with the Bengals historically.
What's the saying? A tiger doesn't change its stripes, or
a Bengal.
A Bengal. Yeah, right. That's the case. But it is funny that even in an offseason or past couple off seasons where they paid wide receivers big money, multiple wide receivers. I mean, that was a shocker in and of itself to keep both Chase and Higgins. I would have thought that it would have been Chase and then bye-bye Higgins. So they did kind of change the narrative around them in that regard. But at the same time, then you have the stuff going on with Stort and the stuff going on here with Hendrickson. So it's like back to square one. You changed seemingly for a second, but not really.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East Report gets you up to date on the trade deadline. It's 6 o'clock tonight, but the movement happening today. Phillies got themselves an outfielder. Who is it? Stick around. You'll find out next.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, a couple of deals have gone down in the last half hour or so. Major League Baseball trade deadline coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's see here. The Twins have sent Harrison Bader, outfielder, right-handed hitting outfielder, to the Philadelphia Phillies. Twins get a couple of 12-year-olds in return, it looks like. But Harrison Bader, does this mean that the Phillies no longer have an interest in Ramon Laureano? I would assume, I guess. Bader, really good defensive outfielder. He'll join Philadelphia. Remember last year they got Austin Hayes from the Orioles around this time to kind of be that guy. Hayes now. Cincinnati, by the way, the Bengals. The Reds are one of the teams interested, perhaps, in Ramon Laureano. The Tigers trying to stabilize things after a shaky start to their post-All-Star portion of the season. They get Kevin Finnegan from the Washington Nationals for prospects themselves. So things are rolling right now. Still relatively quiet, Nolan, on the Oriole front here outside of the trades late yesterday with Kittredge going to the Cubs and Ramon Urias going to Houston. The Oriole news today is Zach Eflin, who we thought could be gone, placed on the IL again. Lower back discomfort.
Really quiet in pitching in general. I mean, I'm outside of the blockbuster with the A's earlier and the Padres. I mean, what sort of pitching moves have really stunned anybody, or big name pitching moves at that? I mean, you know, Morton, when's he going to go?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like a lot of this stuff might push it right up to the 6 p.m. deadline.
Yeah. Alcantara could be available. The kid down in D.C., Mackenzie Gore, he could be gone. There was a big trade, however, where Mason Miller, hard throwing righty reliever, wants to be a starter in that kind of his deal. Still fancies himself, but he's been a premier closer, all-star last year. He and left-hander J.P. Sears, they go from the A's to the Padres for a plethora of prospects, including number 3 overall, Leo DeVries. I believe. If I'm mispronouncing, I apologize.
Well, the way people are talking about him, you're going to know his name soon enough.
Right.
I mean, apparently he's the next big thing. So
18 years old.
We'll see what happens there. My first reaction is, well, what the hell are the A's doing? I thought just the other day, I think I was saying on the show, like, they might be closer to turning things around than we thought because of pieces like Mason Miller. I know J.P. Sears isn't having an outstanding year, but still 3 years of arbitration. Miller with 4 years of arbitration. And then think about some of the bats that they've been able to uncover here. Kurtz, Soderstrom. I thought that they were getting close to maybe finding that core, but it looks like they're hitting reset again.
John Heyman throws this out via the X, formerly Twitter. Daryl Hernandez, who the Orioles traded to the then Oakland A's for Cole Irvin a couple years ago. And Hernandez was blocked by, you still had Joey Ortiz in the organization. Westberg and Gunnar were, you know, rising prospects at the time. He can play short and third. You know, maybe we're joking off the air. Maybe it's not so funny after all that he could be your utility guy if you're Mike Elias.
Bring him home.
Inclined to do so.
Bring him home.
He hits on the farm, not so much at the major league level so far. But that's a trade action going on last hour or so. And if anything happens over the next, you know, 39 minutes, we'll keep you up to date. And obviously, Inside Access in the Fresh Take got you covered with all of that good stuff. However, we know the Orioles lost yesterday 9-8 to the Blue Jays. Should have won, didn't. It is what it is. O'Hearn and Westberg both go deep. Yennier Cano, what the hell's going on here? Gives up 5 runs. Dean Kramer battled through 5, was in line to get the win. Cedric Mullins saved again with a spectacular leaping catch in center field. But Cano's velocity's down and his effectiveness is down. He was getting lit up yesterday and it's already been optioned back to the minors once, so what the hell's going on with this guy?
I don't know. Might be suffering a similar fate as CNL Perez. I mean, CNL's still in the organization, but it seems like his days in the majors are long gone. So, I mean, if it doesn't work out with Cano, go ahead and give yourself another hole to fill in the bullpen.
Orioles off today at Chicago, taking on the Cubs tomorrow afternoon. Trevor Rogers will be on the hill for the Orioles, who are 7 games out of the last wild card. In the American League East yesterday, Red Sox, and they're tired of these heartbreaking losses, so they've been taking it out on the Twins and did so in a big way yesterday.
Swing and a drive here by Story. Sock back to the wall. And that ball's out of here. It got out on a line shot. Trevor Story has put the Red Sox in front. That was 2 seconds airborne and out of here.
Nesting on the call, Trevor Story stepping up with a big bat there. The Red Sox hit 4 home runs, yesterday against Minnesota. And no Alex Bregman, who sat out yesterday. Brian Bello goes 7 strong to pick up his 7th win of the season. And the Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the fading Minnesota Twins. Minnesota looked like the 79 Orioles against the Orioles this season, but against everybody else. They had that 13-game winning streak, usually puts you in the middle of stuff. They've been one of the worst teams in baseball since then. The Yankees against the Rays, they're playing right now, but last night, little drama and a new Yankee coming through in the clutch.
This should do it. Fly ball, DeLuca, he'll let it go over his head, and the Yankees win. Josh Chisholm will score. McMahon with the walk-off single.
Ryan McMahon, Yes Network on the call. Just traded from Colorado to New York last week. Gets the game-winning hit, as you heard. Josh Chisholm, Anthony Volpe both go deep, as well as the Yanks in 11. Beat the Tampa Bay Rays 5-4. And we've got action happening as we speak in regards to those two teams in the series finale. Giancarlo Stanton with a 2-run jack off Ryan Pepiot. And right now we're bottom of the first at Yankee Stadium, and New York's up 3-0 over the Tampa Bay Rays, who all of a sudden, Nolan McGraw, are below 500 on the season. Standings update here on this Total Request Thursday. Toronto 4 games up on New York. Boston 5 out. Tampa, welcome to also ran stuff, my friends. Detroit 9 up. They've won 4 in a row after a rough patch there. 9 up on Cleveland, 9.5 on KC. Houston 5 games up on Seattle, who got a lot of syllable Suarez. Tyler Locklear, local kid, goes from Seattle organization to the Diamondbacks. Suarez was in Seattle in 22 and 23. Texas also 5 off the pace. Mets half game up on the Phillies in the East. Brewers game up on the Cubs in the Central. And the Dodgers 3 games up on the now on fire and bringing it all in. Padres have won 5 straight games and making some moves here. Money moves here on this Total Request trade deadline Thursday. Wild card standings in the American League. Yankees, Boston in Seattle, Texas are tied for the last spot. Cleveland 2.5, KC 3, as well as Tampa. Angels are 4, and in the National League, Chicago, Philadelphia, and San Diego are in, with the Reds sitting 3 games off the pace. That's your baseball update here on this Total Request Thursday. We'll come back, talk baseball and the NFL. Start of the season with Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. We got Funhouse Trip, because we haven't been. It was so busy today. We haven't gotten to the Funhouse. We promise you that. Coming up in about 20 minutes, then Inside Access, top of the hour. Jalen Arvin Davis back at practice for the Ravens. So there's some good news, as he left earlier this week with the old soft tissue stuff. Ravens back at it today. No pads. Off tomorrow. Colts will be in town Tuesday for the joint practice. And the preseason opens next Thursday at M&T Bank Stadium against Indianapolis. Speaking of the preseason, it starts tonight. Canton, Ohio, Lions versus Chargers. Join us now to talk about that. The MLB trade line, San Diego. They're not bleeping around. They're all in. Still waiting to see what Mike Elias has up his sleeve over the next few hours. From Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Flex is the podcast. He's our friend, Mike Harmon. Mike, what is up?
My man, what is cracking? Another big and beautiful, busy week across our sporting landscape. The trade deadline's fun because Dodger fans grip it a little bit, going, who the hell are these prospects? Give me somebody real, substantive. Meanwhile, I've got friends in San Diego that are torn because they keep looking at all the prospects that go away, all these big hitters, and you bring in a guy from the A's. So whenever someone's attached to the A's, there's that bit of angst that rolls through. So it's a good time. I just wish for once my team would actually be, you know, in buying mode, but beggars cannot be choosers.
Yeah, for those new to the show, Mike is a Chicago White Sox fan. And hey, look, I can't pop off. They won a World Series 20 years ago. The Orioles haven't sniffed one. Well, they've sniffed one, but they haven't been in one since Ronald Reagan was in his first term as president of the United States of America. But as we look at baseball right now, and the trade deadline's crazy and teams are popping and percolating, doing what they ought to do, is there really a team that stand in any league, any division, that stands out above the rest? For instance, like the Tigers are still 9 up on the Central, but they have the best record in baseball going into the All-Star break. Not anymore. The Blue Jays came here a couple days ago, Mike, with the best record in baseball, and the Orioles spanked them and should have beat them again yesterday. So they're like, all right, whatever. You got the West with Houston, okay. And then, who is the best team in baseball if you had to pick one on July 31st as the trade deadline looms in just 4.5 hours here?
See, I think that's the beauty of this particular season, right? We love our dynasties and the big bad wolf, which is what everybody wanted to make of the Dodgers. I'll get to a fun stat on them in a second. But, you know, you're looking at the day-to-day, what you love about the game right now is that it's just so uncertain, right? You talk about the Blue Jays and what they are, and Baltimore playing better ball of late, Boston chasing, the Yankees flailing, making a bunch of moves. Did they do anything substantively? I mean, you're looking at a squad that basically has Max Fried, Carlos Rodon, and then a giant bunch of question marks. I keep saying that, you know, for most teams going to that third starter and beyond, you might as well have a guy running out like Frank Gorshin in a Riddler outfit. You have no idea what you get almost every day. I mean, I'll go to the Dodgers. They've already used 37 pitchers this year, Bob. 37 before we've gotten to the deadline. Now, Blake Snell's going to make a start on Saturday. You know who's got the third most starts for them? Clayton Kershaw. Would you have ever bet in this year, 2025, that he was a guy that was going to have to be a quasi-workhorse for them? No. No, you would not. So you've got a lot of questions. They dodged a bullet with the Ohtani cramps issue. I don't think I've ever seen an injury update faster than no, it's just cramps. There's nothing with an elbow, nothing with a shoulder, nothing to see here, move on kind of thing. We talked about it, Smith and I, a little bit last night on our show, but it's just that curiosity. Dodgers right now are, I think, 2 games off of their pace from last year. So while it looks a lot worse because you've seen just a constant flow of folks coming through, and Mookie Betts struggles with his with the illness early. Now some family stuff. He hasn't found the stroke. Freddie Freeman homered yesterday. It was the first time in a month. So everybody was like, it's going to be the craziest thing ever. Well, they're going to have to pull every string right. They still have to do an exorcism on the training room. But I think that's been the beautiful thing about baseball this year is you got a lot of cool storylines percolating to the surface. You've got some of the others that are swirling. I don't know how you feel if you're a Guardians fan right now. But, you know, across the league, we're going to come to September, and we're going to be sitting there going, I have no idea which way that's going to go, right? Cubs look great on paper in terms of their lineup. Do they have enough pitching? I don't know. Only time will tell.
You mentioned percolating around the baseball world, and earlier this week it was reported, Mike, as I'm sure you've discussed many times, Bryce Harper napalming Rob Manfred. Literally told him to get the bleep out of my my clubhouse here, as the dirty term for baseball players is salary cap. I mean, are you siding with the player or the executive? You're always supposed to show respect to your boss. That's how life has always been. But, oh, Bryce Harper with his great hair, he kind of went to scorched earth on old Manfred there.
Still want some more audio and video to leak from all of this, because I think that would be fun theater for the rest of us.
Be awesome.
Yeah, it would be great. But, you know, Rob Manfred, you know, they say he's, you know, stood his ground and had his peace. And what's curious, you know, when you start fishing around, and look, he works for the owners. There's no two ways about it, that, you know, he's got to put out the feelers. And like we see with the NFLPA, which has myriad issues that are far more exacerbated and problematic than all these other labor unions in sports. Except maybe the WNBA right now. But you look at what you've got with baseball is, and we got the numbers from the NFL, right? Because we get the glory of the Packers report, so we know what you get from the national cut, right? It was $432 million. Well, the salary cap in the NFL is only $279. So you tell me the difference. That's operating expense minus whatever. You got a lot of profit built, and that's before you get to local revenue and sponsorships and deals and whatever else in the NFL. Major League Baseball, the biggest issue, and you put in the luxury tax and whatever, that's great. But until you start forcing these teams to actually spend some money, why would you? Right? If you know it's going to be a long shot to be a winner and actually take home the trophy. It's like, wait, we can profit how much by putting out minor league players? I mean, what's going to stop unless you get a bunch of super rich guys that come over the top? But yeah, I mean, you've got the great divide in the game, and football, it's long established, right? The tail for how long someone's in the league. You know, when we say that 3-year average, it's nonsense, because how many guys play a game or two and are never seen again? Baseball, you got a lot of the same. I just talked about the Dodgers. They got 37 pitchers, let alone all the guys that have found their way into the lineup. And you go multiply that by your 30. That's a lot of jobs. That's a lot of people, and it's a lot of guys with different priorities than the others. So getting everybody on the same page, I have some hope that baseball is a little better and more buttoned up. But to think that this is going to go quietly into the good night, quote, labor peace. Yeah, just because you don't get to the breaking point doesn't mean that you're not teetering there for a long while. That affects the game.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. All right, Mike, last thing for you. And you mentioned the NFL tonight, Hall of Fame game, Chargers-Lions. Okay, it starts a month-long football every week run that we have. And we'll get into ESPN probably taking over Red Zone here on another time. But starting tonight, there's going to be football every week in some way, shape, or form until what? Second week of February? So are we cool with that? Or is it still like, look, I'm still cooking on the grill and taking the swimming things here. Why the hell are we worried about football, the pigskin? And why are they in pads already on national television?
Yeah, it's I mean, we get to watch Trey Lance and Hendon Hooker get after it for a minute.
Right.
And then it goes from there. So, it's just that curiosity, you know, how much do we need at the appetite? It's like, which Monty Python was it? The Meaning of Life, where you got the big guy sitting at the table and he goes, oh, I couldn't eat another bite. And he's got a throw up bucket underneath him.
Oh, Whopper Thin mint or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Whopper Thin. Whopper Thin. And the guy literally feeds it to him because he can't move. And then he starts throwing up and eventually blows up. But it's just that idea with football. I think we're going to keep adding and jamming in more dates and opportunities to watch until we can't take any more. You know, the preseason, take it all with a grain of salt. It's kind of like these camp reports, right? Like how much is real? Imagine how much is an agenda getting fed. And of how great a guy looks day to day. I mean, in Cleveland, I mean, we either have Shedeur Sanders should never see the you know, inside of the white lines of a football field again, and then he uncorks a 70-yard pass with no pads and nobody bearing down on him, and he's supposed to be a hero. And it's like, I don't know. I think you can take the third or fourth stringer on most teams and they can make that throw. So, you know, you take from it what you will and you hype it as much as you want. But the numbers continue to show us, Bob, that we cannot be sated when it comes to this stuff. We want more and more and more. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I want your flex. Mike, always appreciate the time. We'll start getting more in-depth into some fantasy stuff next week as we really begin in earnest the preseason.
Oh, no question about it. By the way, if you need extra football, I just saw a thing that added like another 15 national high school games for your viewing pleasure at the end of the month.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted by Machine Gun Kelly up on TV right now at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, I thought you were watching SummerSlam from last year again, where you're hanging out with Logan Paul.
All right, Mike, have a great weekend.
Be good, brother. Talk to you then.
There he is, Mike Harmon, everyone. We'll come back reset for you. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock, and then Fresh Take Sports with Cordell Will and Ben Hall. They got the trade deadline covered for you. Orioles are going to make some moves. When? Ravens are off tomorrow, then back at it next week, Tuesday. The Colts come to town for a joint practice. Trade deadline. Orioles, other than announcing Zach Eflin's going on the IL with a bad back, haven't made yet another move after Kittredge and Arias were traded. Other trades are going down, and Inside Access will keep you up to date as the deadline is at 6. And then, obviously, Fresh Take Sports with Cordell and Ben Hall. They'll analyze things, and we still anticipate, you know, Morton, said O'Hearn, among others, being dealt. Laureano, perhaps. I mean, we'll all just follow along together there, Nolan, I guess.
Right. A lot of tweets being fired off today. Big refresh day on social media. John Morosi, I don't know what's going on here, dude. This is like 5 minutes ago, and I like John Morosi, but just tweeted out here 5 minutes ago. Ryan O'Hearn is expected to be traded today. Wow. Really going out on a limb there, John.
Well, he's keeping the engagements up on his X page for sure. Now, if he doesn't get traded, then if Mullins, O'Hearn are still Orioles tomorrow, then we're wondering why. I mean, I half joke about them being 7 out of the wild card. They can't be serious about trying to make some sort of run here. But who knows? I think they're both everybody gone. Go be gone, and Morton too. Maybe Sagano, maybe Eflin. You know, I want Laureano to stay, but then again, I don't make that decision.
Well, now that we're on the time crunch here, we're getting in that final window. A lot of, if pitching moves are going to happen, they're going to happen fast and furious here. So you mentioned the big three. Those are the ones to me that are no-brainers that have to go. Mullins, O'Hearn, Morton. Beyond that, we'll see. Really haven't heard Sagano's name mentioned at all today.
Nah.
Rumors, interest, or anything. So it's looking like he might be sticking around.
On a one-year deal, so who knows what that ends up being like in the long term for him and for the Orioles. Dylan Cease might now be sticking around in San Diego with the Padres as they're in it to win it. But Mackenzie Gore, Alcantara especially, look to be gone. Gore, if you're the Nats, you come blow us away with a deal, we'll bust it. 2 years left of team control. And if he's really available, if I'm Mike Elias, I'm kicking those tires for sure. You're not winning it this year, but he could sure as hell help you win it next year.
Right, I'd rather have him than Alcantara for sure. No doubt. And nothing against Sandy. I mean, it's just been a really rough year for him. And the control with him is the most valuable part, but he really hasn't gained any footing this year. And then you throw in the fact that this is all on the shoulders or the heels of the Tommy John surgery. It's just a tough look for him.
All right, what have our listeners decided in regards to Nolan Featured Artist Friday?
Got a good one tomorrow. Run DMC will be our featured artist tomorrow.
Okay.
My Adidas.
I love Adidas.
They were not rapping about my Adidas, that's for sure. My Adidas on my feet right now that are falling apart as I walk.
Do you have shoelaces in your Adidas, unlike Run DMC?
They're way too long. I got to stuff them into my shoe. Oh, it bothers me.
We have time for a fun house?
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, first texter here says, what a mess with Zach Eflin's injury. No value in a trade, but I'm not rushing to try to keep him in Baltimore either long term after three stints on the IL this year. I guess the pressure is now on to actually get something for Charlie Morton.
Well, with Eflin, Ken Rosenthal tweeted this out earlier in the morning. He's still available via trade if teams are interested in acquiring him. But the Orioles' best-case scenario for them, if you want to call it one, you tender him. He declines to tender and hits free agency. You get draft pick compensation in return. Or he accepts the tender, and then you have a veteran pitcher to help supplement at a pretty good $20-plus million price tag, supplement your rotation next year.
This one here says, Elias is digging himself in a hole that he can't get out of. Just showed this past offseason he wasn't able to do enough to put a mostly complete roster over the top. I can't wait for the same old we like our guys mantra that's coming next spring after they do next to nothing.
Well, he's going to have to be very active in the offseason. And that means whether it's signing free agents to big ticket prices, moving some of these prospects for guys that can help your 2026 Major League team. Oh, and by the way, probably hiring a new manager too, which will be first on the agenda, unless Manzo can lead the Orioles to the postseason. Wouldn't that be a crazy turn of events?
That would be something. And last text of the day says, I know Mateo's injury played a part here, but I thought there was no chance he would outlive Arias in Baltimore. The Orioles went from having too many utility infielders, none of them optionable. Now they have none.
Yeah, and Arias was signed through next year, too. But, you know, you got a guy with upside, we think. The always fun, again, to quote Mike Harmon, who we just talked to, Magic Bean. Jorge Mateo's just got to stay healthy and then get on base. He's not an outfielder, as we have seen, incredible athlete. Stay healthy, hit 250, get on 33% of the time, and watch him cook on the base pass. And brings plus defense there at shortstop and maybe third base. Who knows? But we're way ahead of ourselves in regards to that. That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow at 10 o'clock noon, ripping it with Ryan. Ryan Ripken will be here. We'll look back at the trade deadline that was, and we'll preview that series against the Cubbies. Andrew Kittredge, you get a chance to pitch against his now former team, the Orioles. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. Inside Access coming up next. For now, class dismissed.